So, I lost, okay, there's too many things. Okay, so, yeah, maybe it's a bit shocking for you guys. I don't know if you guys have ever heard about unreached people groups. But yeah, basically there's a lot of people who have little or no opportunity to hear about who Jesus is. And that's one of the reasons that I decided to go and to... Sorry, it's not working. Okay. Can you hear it? Okay. Turn it up. You can hear me, Myra. You don't need to record. Okay. So, I think, yeah, one of the main things that God had impressed on my heart in the last, like number of years, actually, has been this passage. Ever since I started learning about unreached people groups, I think God had really put a burden on my heart. And it's from Romans 10, where it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I think, yeah, realizing that, wow, you know, the places that I grew up in, it's like, it's so prevalent that even in, like, within the city, there's, like, so many churches, even in Vancouver. And yet, like, going to, well, in Desert Rain, there's actually, that we know, it's like, the indigenous churches is, like, so small. There's only, like, maybe, like, 10 or 11 people gathered. And so it's crazy to imagine that I'm like, wow, in like a city of like millions of people, there's only one church because so few people have heard about who Jesus is and are actually like responding to God even. And so I think ever since God put that on this like passage and also the vision of like, how can we see these people reached on my heart? It's been a challenge because I'm like, God, I just want to go, you know, I'm ready to like go and go to any part of the world that you call me to. And it's interesting because I think over and over, I mean, like God's like, I want you to be in a space where you like mobilize people, that you're going to be a part of this. But sometimes it's like learning how to be like obeying Him and like also trusting in His timing as well. So for a long time, God's been like, okay, I want you to be a part of mobilizing more people so that more people can go into these parts of the world. And so this is like a couple of the UBC students that came to Desert Rain. And yeah, you notice like some of these students too, they're older students, and for many years, I think the movement or the ministry at UBC, it's like, for some reason, it primarily draws a lot of like Asian people as well. So it's like, we always stay out of our comfort zone. We're going to like, you know, either staying in Canada or like going to places where the parents are comfortable of letting their kids go. And yet, like, at the same time this year, as like we've been praying together and teaching the students to actually pray about unreached people groups, some people have been willing to actually like take a step of faith to invest their summer. So a lot of them went through a lot of challenges, even for like their parents to like learn to release them, because their parents were like, where are you going? You know, you can't even say the place. That's so dangerous. Or what are you doing there? So there's a lot of just like even anxiety or worry even. And so at the same time, just seeing like how God has worked in a lot of these families to actually even like help parents to learn to release their kids. And through that, as we went, so yeah, it was like the five of us from like UBC heading to like, that went to Desert Rain, like to see them grow so much in the process was like really encouraging. And them coming back with more of a vision as well. So out of like these people, like three out of the four of them were like, yeah, you know, I want to invest at least a year afterwards to go to an unreached area. And so it's really encouraging for them to actually have a broader scope and a vision of the world, because we talk and we pray about it, but like when we go there, it's really different to actually see. Yeah, the places that God cares about but are often, like, forgotten. And so, yeah, so this is the whole team. So there was, like, 58 of us. Out of that, we had some, like, some of them were student interns, so people that have gone on trips before. We, like, gave them more responsibilities and leadership roles. But probably around, like, 10 of us were staff and the rest of them were, like, all students. And we're divided into, like, two different cities and five teams. So, because we didn't want, like, a mass of us, like, all in one place, right? So we're trying to, this is, like, the biggest team we've ever sent. And it's been 10 years since we've had a partnership there. And all this time, it's, like, we've never had such a large group go into the city. And so we had to actually even have, like, our debrief time, like, outside of the country, because it would be, like a dangerous, like, security issue if we were all to meet together. So this was our unique time that we did gather together, and we went for a trip to the desert all together. Let's see. Yeah, so this is a bigger group, and then out of the bigger group, this is my team. We call it our fam. And so it's a mixture of, like, students across the country, most of, yeah, I didn't know any of them before I came on this trip. So all of us are like new to each other, and then suddenly we're put in a place where we're all living in apartments together. Like the girls are in one apartment and the guys are in an apartment down like the street and stuff. And so it's interesting when you live together, you learn a lot about each other's habits. And like all the girls, like six of us all together, and it's like sharing a bathroom, you know, and like, you know, some take a little longer in the mornings, and like, you know, and sometimes like, the good thing is we had like the toilet is like separate from like the bathroom area and stuff, but sometimes we'd hear like people screaming because like, oh my goodness, there's like a cockroach in the bathroom, but they're trapped in the bathroom, and like different things, and we like rescue each other. So it's always like an interesting dynamic, like living together and also learning how to like care for each other. Because people have different preferences of like food, with like how they like, different things arranged in the house. So I think a huge part of like the learning and is growing like to learn how to live in community together and learn how to also like resolve conflict as well. Because there's all sorts of like disagreements that can come up. Like, oh my goodness, I did my laundry, and like I remember one girl had all her laundry turned blue, and I think she thought it was someone else who threw a towel in or something like that. And so like all her clothes are like crazy colored in the end. And so we're like, yeah, this is like a brighter like mix of things now that you have a greater collection of clothes. But so different things that have come up where we've learned how to like work through things, and like, and especially when you live day to day with each other, I think you have to work through the stuff. And so I think we grew a lot, and different mix of backgrounds as well. So I think people always get confused as they see it. It's like, oh, we're Canadian. But they're like, what? How, what does that even mean? Because we're from, like, so many different parts. So there's people originally, like, maybe their families. Most like, of us, like, are second or third generation Canadians. But some were from, like, Nigeria, from Sri Lanka, from Philippines. So from all different parts of the world. But it's cool because when we get to do a presentation and we go into schools and we tell them about Canada, we're like, yeah, because Canada is so diverse, you know. And so it's like awesome to be able for us to share about what our life is like in Canada. We tell them about Tim Hortons, we tell them about like maple syrup, and like clear up some myths that we don't live in igloos, you know, those things. And it's exciting because every time we go in to do a presentation as well, like they want to tell us about their culture as well. So it's really exciting because when we go in, we like actually tell the schools that we're in, like, and the people we meet, what we're here for, a cultural exchange, which is true. Like we really want to learn about their culture, and so. Yeah, and then we tried to, like, we took some, like, a few, like, one or two lessons on, like, their language as well. And so it means a lot when we're willing to also speak the language of the people there as well. And they're always amazed when they see, like someone, like, of a different cultural background speaking their language. And we also get a lot of, like, well, sometimes on the streets, like, people would call me, like, ni hao, or, like, sometimes meow meow, or some weird things, you know, that I get called, you know. So, yeah. And there's one guy who had, like, a beard as well, and he kept on getting called, like, Alibaba as well. And so there's all sorts of stuff. So it's interesting, because they're like, okay, we're getting, like, who are they talking to, you know. And so we get called all sorts of names, and they're very, like, at the same time, I think the amazing thing about the people is, like, they're very, like, hospitable. So everywhere that we go, it's so easy to make friends. So we made a lot of friends when we went to schools to do presentations. So these are some of our friends. So we would meet them probably like the first week or two, you know. And then like they would be like, hey, you should come over, you know, have a meal with us. And then they like have us over and they invite their friends as well. And then like before we know it, we're just like, you know, in their homes and their whole family has met us. And then their friends are there. And then they serve us like lots of different foods and stuff like that. And yeah, they're just really friendly, hospitable people. And I think that's one thing I really appreciate about their culture. So just some of their food. Yeah, they're really big. So this plate is like huge. It's like this. And it's a plate of like couscous, and they have vegetables and meat. And so there's certain rules. So we were sort of like briefed on this already, where it's like, okay, when you eat, everyone's around the table, you stay in your own lane. So you have your own lane and you eat from your own lane and stuff. And then like you just work on it, and then, you know, other people will work on their areas. But somehow, for some reason, I always end up, because I'm sitting next to the other Canadians, and those Canadian girls, they don't like their vegetables, so they end up piling up all their vegetables onto my side. So I'm like, guys, like, seriously, I can't eat all these vegetables. And like, so they keep on, like, throwing these things over into my, like, lane, and I get really upset. But I have to remain calm in front of all the friends, and I just eat my vegetables. So, but they're really, and their mom cooks usually, like, really amazing food. I've never had such good couscous before. So that's the amazing part. So after we eat that, they're like, oh, yeah, okay, that's just, like, the beginning. And then they're like, we have more for you. So we go, and, like, okay, let's go to the other person's house that's around the area. And then they're like, here, we have more food prepared. And we're like, oh, my goodness. That's why they're so shocked. They're like, we just finished a whole meal. We had some tea. We had some cake. We had fruits. And then they're like, we're going to go and have some snacks now. But, like, the snacks is, like, a whole table, like, full of food. And so it got to a point where it's, like, 4 hours later, we're still, like, eating. And we're like, okay, we really got to go. We're supposed to make it home for curfew. And they're like, okay, don't worry. We'll just pack the food for you. And we're like, oh, my goodness. And so they pack everything into, like, boxes for us. So we're, like, going home for, like, a week's worth of, like, snacks and food and everything. So super hospitable and kind and generous people. And their families as well. Most of their maybe parents might not speak a lot of English, but most of the time they're still like, oh, come into my house, like, we want to welcome you, come again, you know. So they're really nice people, and they always, like, try to teach us how to, like, pour tea properly, because you have to, like, raise it, and, like, there's special techniques, so they always make us tea, which is really nice. But we're, like, super caffeinated and, like, super sugared up, so all of us are like, oh my goodness, like, all we do is eat and, like, drink tea all the time. So that's a glimpse of, like, their life there. And I don't know if it worked. Oh, so maybe it's this button. So one day, I don't know if you can play it. Oh, maybe it's this button. Thanks, Sai. So we're just walking in the neighborhood here.
Be careful, be careful.
Oh, don't walk into it. I'm sort of narrating. Just another day. Walk in the street. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, wow, they found a gold mine. Oranges. So there's a brief. So this is just us walking on the streets. We're like, we didn't know what to expect, and then we saw a herd of cows walk through, and we're like, why are there cows? And who's washing these cows? And they're like, oh, it's okay. They know their way. They do this every day. The cows just, like, walk through the city. And we're like, okay, that's cool, you know. And so it's a very different lifestyle, but I like it how it's like we get a chance to visit and experience what their life is like. Because it's always really different if we just meet them in school. But when we go and visit them, they really, like, show us, like, oh, this is what our life is like. This is where we hang out. This is where my family grew up and stuff like that. These are some of our friends. The vision for, like, our Desert Rain trip is, like, change hearts, change lives, and change nations. So change hearts is about the Canadian students having their hearts change and really broken for the lost and, like, gaining more of God's heart for people. Change lives then is about, like, the people that we interact locally. So these are a few of the students that I got to meet. And actually, each one of them here that are on this picture are students that I've had an opportunity to share the gospel with over the course of, like, 5 or 6 weeks in the course of, like, our friendship. And so it's really exciting because as we meet with them, they're actually really eager to learn about God. So most of them, in this country, like, 99% of the people are, like, Muslim, pretty much. So this is part of their culture and part of every part of their life is, like, their religion and culture is just, like, interwoven so much together. So it's really easy to talk about faith because, for one example, it's like we hear the call to prayer, like, 5 times a day. And so 5 times a day, they, like, actually, yeah, some of them have, like, their prayer mats and everything, and then they, like, pray, and they're very intentional. Yeah, they stop everything, and then they pray. And so, especially for the men as well, they usually go, like, to the mosque and stuff, and they, like, pray there and stuff at designated hours. So a lot of them, yeah, for them, it's just a part of their lives. But at the same time, as we've gotten to talk to them, they're actually, like, they have a lot of questions about God and about faith as well. So whenever we ask them, it's like, oh, so what do you think about prayer or God? And they're like, oh, yeah, like, this is a part of, like, our lives, and we've always known that there's a God, you know, up there. And this is, like, we have to make sure that we live good lives that would really honor God. That's why we pray. That's why we do charity work. So in Islam, there's, like, 5 pillars of faith. And so that involves, like, praying and then also fasting during the month of, like, Ramadan as well as part of that, which is actually still happening the last week of Ramadan right now. And also giving to charitable, like, giving as well. And then also going on a pilgrimage to Mecca. So a lot of them, when I ask them, it's like, well, do you have any dreams or ambitions in life? Their dreams and ambitions are actually to go to Mecca. Which is really interesting. It's like, I'm so used to, like, students here, and they're like, oh, yeah, like, I want to actually be a successful business person. I want to be a doctor or a lawyer. Like, I want to go into TED Talk and do something. And it's very, like, individualistic in some ways, but then in that culture, it's very collective, where it's like all of us is like, we have this shared vision of, like, we want to live lives that honor God, and then at the same time, we want to be able to, well, be in paradise with God. And part of that is going to, like, Mecca and going on this pilgrimage. And so it's interesting to see how devout they are, because sometimes I see how much they pray and everything, and I'm like, wow, they're more devout than I am. But at the same time, they have all these unanswered questions. So when we slowly started to get to know them, for example, this girl, Amina here, when I first met her, she's actually really conservative as well, but very, like, gentle and, like, kind girl. And when we got a chance to have dinner together, we got to chat a bit more. And when I asked her a bit more about God, she's like, yeah, you know, I've always, like, wondered about, like, questions about God. And I asked her, if you had one question that you could ask God, like, what would it be? And she thought about it a bit more. She's like, I just want to know if God loves me, you know. And it just really, I think at that moment, like, it broke my heart, because I was like, oh, like, I want so much to just tell you, like, he really loves you. He really cares about you. Like, because she's, like, every day she's like, I'm praying, I'm doing all these things, but I never get to hear from God, or I'm not sure if I'm doing the right things in my life. And so as I got a chance later on in the evening to, like, share the gospel with her, I asked her, I'm like, so what do you think then, like, hinders you from, like, knowing God then, or, like, experiencing his love for you? And then she's just like, well, I've just made so many mistakes in my life, and I've done so many things that are wrong that I don't think he would accept me. And so there's a huge, across the culture too, there's a sense of, like, a sense of guilt and a sense of, like, shame as well, especially strong in their culture, of just like, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be good enough. And so when I ended up talking to her, I was like, you know, part of God's story is that he loves us so much that it's not about how much we can do. Sort of like the song we were singing, it's not about what we've done, but it's about what Christ has done already for us. Like, God is coming to us because we can never get to him. And so in each of the conversations, a lot of times, well, I end up drawing, like, different things. Oh, I guess I didn't put it up here. But I usually draw out a diagram of, like, just how, like, maybe God is up there, and they have a, like, yeah, I know, like, God is there. And maybe we're down here in the world, and we're trying all our different ways to try to reach up to him. And I usually ask them, I'm like, well, what percentage do you think you're at in terms of your relationship with God? Like, how right are you with him, you know? Can you be certain about these things? And most of them are like, I can't, I don't know. Like, who can judge but God himself, you know? And even some of the girls, when I ask them, they're like, maybe I'm at 50%, but I'm definitely not good enough. I'm not ready to see God because I'm not good enough as a person. I'm trying hard, but I'm not, like, yeah, ready in my heart and my life and everything. So I ask them, it's like, okay, if you're not really certain, like, in the percentage scale, it's like, well, how about me? Like, what do you think I would say? Like, how right am I with God right now? And then they'd be like, can you know that, though? That's crazy. How can anyone know that? And I would tell them, I'm like, well, what if I told you I'm at 100%? And then they usually sit there, they're like, no, that's crazy. How can you say you're 100%, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but here's the part. But then they become really curious. They're like, what do you mean by 100%? No one is 100% and no one is perfect, right? And so I get to explain to them. I'm like, well, do you know much about Jesus and who he is? And they're usually like, oh yeah, we heard a bit about him. He's a prophet, you know, he's a good messenger. But yeah, like, he's just like all the other messengers and stuff. And so through that, I'm like, well, can I tell you a bit more about him? Like, are you curious about learning more? And usually they're like, yeah, sure, like, I'll hear about it. And afterwards, after I share with them, they're like, well, but we think that, you know, Muhammad is the last prophet. So he's the extra special one, you know, that we need to believe in. But as we talk more, it's really interesting, because sometimes I get really a little bit upset as well, because there's so much, like, they put so much faith in, like, Muhammad. And it's crazy, because how much they know about him is so limited, and it's so, like, culturally defined. They're like, oh yeah, we heard this thing about Muhammad. You know, Muhammad said you have to eat dates after, like, you fast or something. And so they follow all these, like, little, like, picky things that, you know, Muhammad said or something. And it's interesting, because I ask them more, I'm like, so what do you know about Muhammad's life if you say you believe in him so much? And they're like, well, he was a good man. He did all these amazing things. And so I'm like, I think when we take the, like, when I took the time to listen to them, I was like, oh, like, they have a reverence for him. And then there's always a part where it just really gets to me too, because I'm like, well, I'm trying to understand, like, why you put so much faith in him, right? And at the same time, because I did a bit of research too and, like, learned a bit more about Islam, but I'm like, small things, like, for example, well, I guess it's a big thing, but Muhammad actually, like, and they know about this too, it's like he was married to this woman called Khadijah for a while, and then after she passed away, she went and then she married, like, four other, like, women, but one of them was actually, like, a 7-year-old girl. And so when I asked them about that, I'm like, okay, how does this make sense? Like, is that something to follow in? Because I'm like, I don't see it in your culture as something that you would follow. And most of them would, like, disagree with that. But they're like, well, maybe Muhammad is trying to help these women. Like, they were in poverty, so he married them to try to help them, you know. And then I was like, oh, it's so hard because when we talk about these things, I'm trying to understand. But at the same time, there's a part of me where it's like, not only just focusing on Muhammad, but I'm like, but Jesus is like so different than any other prophet. And when I asked them more, they're like, oh yeah, I think Jesus, like, actually he never died, like, or something. I heard some story about him being, like, taken into heaven or something. And so they have this idea that Jesus is alive, but at the same time, I think there's, like, a disconnection with, like, okay, like, there's a story, but it's for, like, maybe Christians or Jewish people and stuff, and then we have to believe in this. But at the same time, we never really know if this is ever the right thing to do. So when I get a chance to talk to them, I think a lot of it is learning to really listen, because sometimes I can get really upset in the conversations about just how many, like, false, like, lies that have been, like, ingrained into the culture, and how people are, like, I get the sense really that they're really imprisoned, you know. Especially, yeah, for some of them, they come from such, like, really broken homes as well. So one of the girls I met as well, I think that's why I really, like, got to me, because when we were sharing about our family and stuff, she shared about how she's like, yeah, one thing that I would ask God for is actually to take care of my mom. And I'm like, oh, why would you want your mom to be taken care of? Is she okay, her health and everything? And then she's like, oh, her health is fine, but a few years back, like, we discovered that our father was, like, actually, he had an affair, and, like, he had this other woman in his life, and it was, like, really challenging for our whole family. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry to, like, hear about that. And she's like, yeah, our father asked for, like, forgiveness. And so we thought that it was, like, you know, all well. And then, like, a while back, only recently or something, she, like, was out at the beach with friends or something. And then she found her father with, like, not only just this other woman, but it's, like, this other whole family. So she was like, yeah, we discovered this recently that our father had this whole other family. And so he spends one day with us and one day with this other family. And deep down, I just see, like, how much hurt there is, like, just for her and her whole family because of this. And yet, I don't know, part of me, I'm like, and then there's this faith in, like, Muhammad where it's okay to, like, have all these different wives and have these families. And there's so many things that don't connect in my mind. And at the same time, the greatest of all, I'm like, well, like, part of her, she's like, I just want to be loved. And part of it is, like, trying to find that love, whether a lot of the girls as well, like, they want to be in, like, romantic relationships, but most of them keep it, like, a secret from their family. So a lot of times they're like, yeah, I have a boyfriend, but none of their, like, parents ever know about it either. So it's so interesting, as I'm like, man, I feel like they have, like, two lives, you know. On the outside, they're like, I have to be, a good person and everything, but inside there's all these things that are, like, things that aren't resolved, or things that they have questions and doubts about, and also places where they're looking for love, looking for acceptance. And to realize that, man, like, I have the answer, like, I know about Jesus, and I can actually tell you that you are loved and accepted. And so, it's hard at the same time to see God, like, actually prepare these conversations of, like, how many of these girls have said, you know, I've never had a chance to talk about this with anyone because we can't in our culture. But I'm so glad that I can, like, talk to you about this and actually ask some of the questions I've had on my mind. So beyond all this is, like, I think the challenges have always been, like, okay, God, we have this time, like, 5 or 6 weeks here, and we've had these significant conversations, but we're trusting that, God, you would not only change these individual lives, but you would change a nation. That not only will this place be a place where, like, a desert is, like, that there will be water coming through, but actually that the whole nation would be a place where they would come to encounter God and to hear the gospel. And so I think I went through, after some of these conversations with people and, like, also just being in the city for a long time, I came to a point where I came to a crossroad where I really wrestled with God. Because we took a trip to the desert mid-trip. So we got to go out there for, like, a few days and to have some time to reflect on what God is showing us. And that sense of, like, I guess even taking ourselves out of ministry, because it was a good reminder that, oh man, like, we can be so, like, we can think that we're heroes or, like, we're trying to do so much for the people, but we need to, like, take a step back to be like, God, we need to hear from you and we want to be walking in step with you. So when we took some time away, this is, like, the journey we went through to the desert. So,
here's a few clips.
So these are sort of the roads there. Yeah, they don't really have barriers, so maybe not the safest bus ride now that I think about it, but I slept most of it. So as I was like driving through these dirt roads, I think one thing that really struck me was like we went, because it's pretty rural areas, right? And so as we're driving through, I just realized, I was like, wow, like there's so many more people. Like I was in the city and we're interacting with a lot of people, but there are so many people out in the whole country. And actually the further out we went, I'm like, there's actually like less and less chance that these people would have ever heard the gospel or would have ever like encountered someone that knew Jesus. And very, very low likelihood that there would be churches here even. So I just, like, this is like a journal entry from like that time of reflection a little bit. And so I just wrote down, driving through the towns, seeing the children with their school bags walk home from school, and the old men sitting outside, gazing into the road, and the woman running errands. The majority of these people may live and die within 10 kilometers of their home without the opportunity to hear the good news. That makes me sad and breaks my heart. How do I trust in your sovereignty? The task seems too immense. I'm going to sleep tonight, but I want to trust and know that I do not hold people's eternal destinies in my hands, but the hands that hold the world hold me and secures me. And so that was just a brief journal entry from just time of reflection, but I think it just really struck me. I'm like, wow, like, God, I don't know how to reconcile this. I don't know how to reconcile how I can live in, like, a developed country with all these, like, I guess luxuries in many ways, and there's poverty there. Not but only that, but the greatest impoverishment is actually the lack of a knowledge of who Jesus is. And how these people here, a lot of them like have their own dialects and their own language too. I'm like, we don't even know if we can even access these places. But God, like, I don't know, how can it be that in the desert, like places like this where there's just so few people that like know about you, and how will they hear about you? I don't understand like how this would all work and fit together. And so the interesting thing is like we got to a place where we were staying, we spent the night. Actually, one of my favorite nights on the trip was actually spending the night in the desert, where we slept. We took the camels out, and then we actually slept underneath the stars. It's like beautiful because I mean there's no lights and everything. So, and then we also just, we're like, okay, what do we do if we need to go to the bathroom? Like, okay, just find an area of the sand, like go to the bathroom and like shovel some sand over it. So hopefully that sand is not from like any of those areas. But besides that, just like being out in like complete like outdoor, like in the place where there's like no city lights, nothing, and just being in a place where it's like, I feel like the stars are so close, and sort of being reminded from God where it's like, you know, the same sky that Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, the stars that they looked up into, where God promised them, is like, you know, I want to bless the nations, you know, that God's heart has always been for the world to come to experience and encounter him and to be in relationship with him. And being like, you know, imagining Abraham, where I'm like, wow, he was just one man, and then his whole family in some way like just grew and multiplied, and like, and God blessed the nations like through him. And at the same time, looking at the same sky, I'm like, wow, yeah, God, how are the nations going to be changed? Like, you care about these people, and they need to know you. And so when I looked up, it was very humbling to see like God is so much bigger than me, and yet at the same time, I'm here, a part of his story, his redemption story. And so, yeah, and then the second night I was actually having a bit of a hard time because the place that we stayed at was supposed to be a nicer place, but for some reason I think I had this allergic reaction to like the bed sheets or something that was there. So I was actually even sharing a bed of another like intern or something, and she was totally fine. She like slept through, but I was like so itchy. My whole body was like, I felt like it was on fire. I was like so itchy the whole night. So I just had a bottle of like aloe, and I was like rubbing myself the whole night. But it was like, yeah, so it was pretty like dreadful. So I woke up at like 1, and then I woke up at 3, and I just couldn't sleep anymore. I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm so itchy, and I'm like uncomfortable. So I went outside, and it was like all quiet. And as I was like out there, and still I didn't really have like an answer from God, where I'm like, God, I can't reconcile how so much of the world, like these people here, they don't know you. And I don't know how they're going to know you. And I can't be this one person that will go to all these places. And I can't even speak their language even. So I felt like so small. And at the same time, like, just didn't understand how God was, like, working. And suddenly, I think at that point, like, God really spoke to me. And it was actually a song by, I think, Phil Wickham. And it just kept on playing in my mind. And the lyrics are just like, you are worthy, great and mighty. The moon and the stars declare who you are. And I'm so unworthy, but still you love me. Forever my heart will sing of how great you are. And it reminded me of the passage, actually, of like Jesus going into like the city, and like everyone is like, wow, like putting down their clothes, and he's walking through, and the Pharisees are really upset. They're like, ah, like Jesus, why, like, what's all this commotion, you know? And why are your like disciples like making such a huge racket and everything? And then, but Jesus responds, and he's like, because people are crying out, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisee says, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But then Jesus responds, is like, I tell you, if they were, these were silent, the very stones would cry out as well. And it was just such a humbling thing where it's like, you know, even the stones would cry out. Like, God has these infinite ways of actually having his name be made known. And I don't know all the infinite ways. But at the same time, this crazy thing is like how suddenly I'm invited to be a part of his story, to be maybe part of one of his ways, or to join him, but also more importantly, to actually, that he's willing to share his heart with me, that he's willing to actually show me about like the people that he cares about, to show me about how he's at work already. Before I ever even took a step into this place, he has been already at work. And so I think I was like still in a place where I still have questions. I don't understand everything, but I think God just really spoke into my heart about his deep love for me, and also his deep love for the people there as well. And so this is one of the scenes from the city. So this is what the city looks like. So they have sort of like streetcars, like trams. Yeah, so some of the cities are very modern looking. Yeah, so people are usually out in the daytime. But yeah, well, their traffic rules are, well, non-existent, I would imagine. So at about the same time, I think in the busyness of the crowds of people and like walking through the city, I think God slowly began to show me, it's like, even that sense where when he looked out into the crowds and Jesus, like, you know, he had compassion and he saw that these people were lost without a shepherd. And he says, like, you know, ask the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers, that people would actually be raised up to actually be sent out into the harvest field. And so I think in the beginning of the trip, our desire was that, like, we would pray towards, like, five people coming to faith. On our trip, which is a huge phenomenal number, because like in the past we've like seen only like maybe one or two people across like 10 years or something. It's like a very slow process for people to come to faith. So as we're trusting God for this, it was interesting as I started praying about it, and I told my team, I was like, you know what, I really feel like we need to pray for like five people in each city, because how are they going to grow as like a community of Christians, you know? So we started praying for that, and we're like, wow, we're trusting God for really big things. But then slowly God began to change my heart a bit more, and I started praying, and I was like, actually, I feel God leading me to pray that five people will return here, because the reality is, like, we need to journey with these people, that these aren't just, like, projects or tasks or, like, a one-time project, but it's like we need to be amongst these people and live with these people and learn together with them how God is real and how the gospel is real. And so as I started to pray about that, I was sort of like, oh, this is sort of awkward, because I'm like with my team and family, but I'm actually praying that they would come back to this place, right? And so, and then it's awesome too, because as I'm praying, I'm like, yeah, you guys are sort of praying for yourself, you know, in some ways. And so towards the end of the trip as well, to see how much like God has changed the hearts of the students, I think it just sort of blew my mind, because like they would come back and then usually have a prayer time to debrief and share stories. And some of them would just be like, yeah, I just feel like we really need to pray. So we'd spend like a good chunk of time praying. But so many of them were just like, oh, I just can't believe, like, you know, how lost these people are and how much they need Jesus. And it reminds me of how much I have in Jesus. And for us to be in this place, they're like saying that, you know, I can't believe God would even use me. Like, I don't have the words. I feel like so ill-equipped. I'm only in like first or second year in university. Or some of them are really new in their faith even. But in the process, as they like came back together, they were like, yeah, God has really broken my heart for these people. Like, I know God has changed my heart because I've seen the lives of these people here. Like, God has like given me a love for these people that I never like can ever muster up myself. And so I think in the process, yeah, like seeing how sovereign God is, whether it's like in the places, you know, even in some of the songs we shared this morning, it's like this bittersweet where it's like the challenges of like being in a world that's still very broken, and the reality of like, oh, I don't know how to carry this weight of like there's so many people that don't know Jesus, and I just don't know how to live with that reality every day almost. But at the same time, God is like, but I'm at work, you know. And so a few encouraging stories from the trip. We met so many people. Each one of us were hoping to meet like 25 friends. And then throughout the trip, we'd like get to know some of them better and like be closer friends. And so I remember like the girls on my team, they were like meeting with this girl, and this girl called, I'll call her like Kana. Anyway, so they were meeting with Kana, and in the process, they were like, we don't even know where she's at. She's like, you know, we usually go shopping and everything, but when it's shopping, it's really hard to have conversations and stuff like that. And so one time, they were shopping, and for some reason, she was like, this girl, Kana, was buying something, and then the cashier was like, oh, we can't take this currency. And she's like, what are you talking about? And then it's an Italian coin that she happens to have in her like purse or something. So for some weird reason, she had this Italian coin. But suddenly she was like, guys, I think this is a sign. And then the other girl's like, what are you talking about? Like, maybe like you don't have enough money. Do you want us to help us out, help you out or something, or pay for the dress or whatever? And she's like, no, I think this is a sign. Maybe God really wants me to like know him and to like become a Christian or something. And the girls are like, what are you talking about? That's so bizarre, like that she would say that. So they started asking her more about it because they're like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And she's like, well, I was like listening to like, you know, Arvin, I was reading the Bible a while back, you know, and I just had this feeling that, you know, maybe I need to like learn more about Christianity and stuff. And so, yeah, I think I should think more about this. And then so they're like, oh, really? That's interesting, you know, because sometimes we sort of like don't want to be super overt about like we're Christian and stuff like that. But we like sort of want to hear people out and ask questions. So this girl came and started asking them questions, and they were shocked because she was like, can you just tell me, how do you become a Christian, you know? And so they're like, oh, okay, we'll tell you about it. So they started sharing over her and stuff like that. And so they're like, this is so weird. Like, why is she suddenly so interested? And it all started with this, like, weird coin that she had in her purse, you know? But things are already, like, happening in her heart and her mind. And so a week later, they went over to her house, and they were just, like, they were planning to do some painting or drawing together or some artwork. And then as they were doing it, Kana started to play, like, the audio Bible in the background. And they were like, this is really weird. And then, so they asked her, like, oh, like, why are you listening to this? And she's like, yeah, I'm just wondering. I just want to learn more about it. But I'm so confused. I don't understand all this stuff in Genesis and all these names and everything. And so they started to explain the gospel to her again. And in the process of, like usually meetings at houses, like, end up being, like, 5 or 6 hours. They're, like, really long. You can't really plan your day. It's really hard to plan your, like, 2-hour meetings or whatever. They just extend. So as they're, like, throughout the day, they're, like, in and out of conversations. And then towards the end, they had a chance actually to, like, actually pray with her and, like, to actually lead her through a prayer of, like, yeah, if you want to accept Jesus in your life, this is what it looks like and everything. And she's like, wow, like, this is so amazing. I never knew that I could, like, you know, actually have a relationship with God and, like, find acceptance and loving God in this way. And so it was crazy because they were, like, we were totally not expecting, like, from a trip that we went shopping that it would eventually lead to, like, this girl, like, wanting to know Jesus more. And so it's, like, a huge part of it is, like, an ongoing journey with our friends. So a lot of them we're still keeping in touch with because they have a lot of barriers, because even when they decide to, like, follow Jesus, their whole family and everything around them is so, like, Islamic, like, focused that they would face a lot of rejection and, like, face a lot of challenges. So that was one story. And then, like, just God had already prepared a heart. And on the other side, so this was from another team in another city, they were like, yeah, it was one of those days, it was a super hot day, so the other city gets really, really hot. It's up to, like, 40 degrees. So it's really by God's grace that I got put into the city where it was, like, a lot cooler by the water. I was like, oh, man, I prayed so much, and I asked everyone to pray. I'm like, please, like, I'm not going to survive in 40 degrees weather. So in the other city where it's really hot, they were hanging out with, like, one of their friends, and basically no one wanted to, people don't want to meet, too, because it's so hot in the day, in the afternoon. So they called up all their friends, and they didn't want to meet, except for one girl, and they're like, oh, this girl, and she's like, I don't even know if she's interested, or, like, we don't feel like we connected that well, but, like, we'll meet her anyway. So they met up with her, and as they're having lunch and stuff like that, they started asking her, like, oh, yeah, because it was, like, a call to prayer or something, and then they're like, oh, it's like, so do you pray and stuff? And then the girl's like, oh, no, like, I'm not Muslim. And then they're like, what? What do you mean you're not Muslim? Everyone's Muslim in the country, right? And she's like, oh, no, I'm actually a Christian. But she has, like, a hijab on and everything. So we're like, so the girls are like, oh, okay, what do you mean? So they're really skeptical. They're like, what do you mean by you're a Christian? And sort of thing. And so they started asking her questions. And then what had happened was, like, I think over a year ago, there was an imam who was, like, a leader in the mosque who actually came to faith because he had a lot of questions. So it's really crazy already. So this mom, like, actually became Christian and then, like, shared, like, the gospel of this girl. But then because the mom is, like, this guy and then she's a girl, they can't really, like, you know, talk more and stuff like that. Like, they can't always meet up and everything. So this girl had been, like, a Christian for, like, a year or so, but had no place to be connected to and was just on her own. And she didn't really know what she was doing. Like, or she was like, oh, yeah, I just know about Jesus and I believe in him, but I don't really know how to grow in my faith or anything. So they were shocked. They were like, what? That's crazy. And then they're like, do you know any other Christians? And she's like, oh, yeah, like, on my campus, there's actually two other guys who are Christians and stuff. But, yeah, we talked about it once or twice and stuff. And then everyone's, like, shocked because they're like, it's, like, rare because 99% of the population is, like, not, like, Muslim, right? So in the end, they're like, oh, okay, do you want to meet up again? And maybe we can connect you to some, like, local Christians. And so now they're hoping to start, like, a small Bible study, like, within that campus. And so it's crazy because they totally did not expect that conversation to go that way. And so in some small ways, like, to see what God is already at work, you know, and this idea that we get to join him in what he's already doing. And so it's never really happened that it's like even a Bible study can form on the campus, because it's so much of it is just simply like trying to see if we could share the gospel with people and find opportunities to journey with these students. And so in that way, I think, like, God, again, reminded me, it's like he's at work, in the lives of these people here. So that's mostly of what I wanted to share. But do you guys have any questions for me, or like thoughts that you wanted to share from what I shared about? And then I'll show a video at the end. You can ask me anything. Well, I don't know if I have the questions to answer for everything, but. Anything you guys want to know about, or about the trip, or? Yeah, Kim?
Like, when you guys are trying to make friends,
you know, mostly yeah, that's an interesting situation. So, we always try to meet the girls, and then guys with guys. And then, of course, their local friends would bring other friends. So sometimes they'd be like, oh dear, like they brought a boyfriend, they brought like another gang of guys, and we're all girls. So over time we sort of learn, it's like, so who are you bringing today? Like, are we going to meet some other friends? Maybe you can let us know, and we'll bring some of our friends too, maybe. So yeah, we try to, like, especially in deeper conversations, to have girls meet up girls and guys meet up guys. Yeah. So yeah, it's sort of interesting though. Especially, I think there was one time, sort of interesting situation where this girl was going to meet with, so me and another Canadian girl went to meet with her, and then she brought her boyfriend. Well, she introduced him and said, oh, this is my boyfriend, blah, 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 right? And then we're like, oh, okay. So afterwards, I was just talking to the girl, and then my friend, like, it's not ideal, but she was, like, just small talk with, like, the guy and stuff about, like, other things. And then as I was walking over, I was like, oh, so, like, how long have you guys met? How do you guys know each other and stuff? And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, we've met for a little while, blah, blah, blah. And then as we're talking a little bit more, I was like, oh, like, you know, what do you like about him? And he's like, oh, he's really handsome. I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. Meanwhile, he's showing her pictures about himself to, like, my friend. It's like all these, like, Instagram pictures of, like, his selfies and everything, and him working out and everything like that. So I'm like, okay, that's sort of weird. And then after a while, we're sitting down for lunch, and then I overhear they're talking, right? And then she's asking him, oh, so do you have a girlfriend then? And stuff like, and how are things with your girlfriend? And then he's like, oh, I don't have a girlfriend. And I was like, oh, this is so awkward. So this girl is like, this is my boyfriend. But the girl is like, oh, the guy's like, he was pretty self-absorbed. He kept on showing us pictures of himself. And so we felt really awkward. So those are moments where we're like, oh, man, we wish there was a guy around. But the following week when we met the girl, it was like, it was hard because we were like, oh, should we talk about this, the boyfriend situation? Because it's a bit weird. So we're like, you know, taking the bus to her house, and it's like a long ride. So we're like, doo-doo-doo, talking about other things. And then suddenly she's like, oh, yeah, you remember my boyfriend? And we're like, yeah. And we're like, yeah, your boyfriend. It's interesting, you know, sort of thing. And then she's like, oh, yeah, I broke up with him. And we're all like, oh, yes, we're so glad you broke up with him, you know. And we're like high-fiving her. We're like, yeah, good job on that one, you know. He's not a good guy, you know. But through that, it was, like, cool because we got to talk more of her about, like, relationships and just about, like, what she's looking for and, like, just, like, what type of love and, like, family and all the stuff that we got to go into deeper conversation. But there's a lot of these situations where, yeah, things turned out a little bit odd, you know. So we try our best to Yeah, guys and guys and girls and girls. So, any other questions? Can I ask anything about the culture, about the people? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Easier way to, like, talk to them? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, prior to going, I tried to meet more Muslim friends, like, on campus already to get to know. But it's a bit different, I realize, when they're in Canada. They're more liberal here. Like, well, there are fewer people, like, with hijabs and everything. So even there, like, everyone, a lot of the girls have hijabs. And they're, like, in a culture where everyone is sort of, like, very Muslim, I guess. And so it's interesting coming back as well, even small things like, for example, like, they observe Ramadan all around the world, right? But there are things where, I think, for example, that really shocked me, too, because basically they fast the whole day. But, so they don't actually eat or drink water from, like, sunrise to sunset. But then it's crazy because it's, like, 40 degrees out, right? So imagine a whole day without drinking any water. So when I see that, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm, like, worried for you that you might pass out or something like that. So I've rarely seen people as devout as I have, like, there. But at the same time, it's interesting because I think, yeah, the people on campus here, they have, like, the sort of cultural background, like the Muslim cultural background, but a lot of them have sort of also integrated, like, Canadian cultural things, where it's like, well, I guess you should be open, though. Maybe there are many ways to God, you know, and I'm not even really sure that the people here are more open, like, and more willing to actually say doubts and, like, skepticism that they have. Whereas there, like, it's only in, a longer-term relationship that we get a chance to hear more about what they're thinking of. But I think it's really helpful, especially finding bridges to the gospel, especially small things. Like, every year, for example, they have a festival in October where they sacrifice, like, a lamb, and, like, they all have to get a goat or a lamb or something, and they think that that gets them closer to God. And so it's a very prevalent thing. And they also really have a strong, like, sense of, they know the stories of Abraham and Isaac and stuff, and so, well, they think it was Ishmael that was sacrificed, so we usually have some, like, different point of views, but through that, it's like being able to share the gospel through their lens. So something very simple, it's like, I realize they don't really understand the word sin, so when I try to explain it to them, like, missing the mark, you know, you're not good enough or whatever, they're like, oh, okay. But I realize over time, one thing that they really understand is a word they call haram, which means that things that are unclean. So they're like, for Ramadan, if you drink alcohol, that's unclean, that's haram. And so you need to be halal, you need to be clean. And you, for example, when they go to the mosque, they have to, like, wash themselves, and that's, like, halal, because they have to clean the haram out of them. So over time, it's sort of like, when I share the gospel with them, I'm like, it's basically all of us are haram. Like, none of us are good enough. But Jesus is halal. He's completely, like, clean. So actually, the only way that we can come to God is, like, being clean through Jesus. So it's communicating, contextualizing the gospel in, like, their language and their culture. So learning those things is, like, helpful. But over time, yeah. So some of those things was helpful. Okay. So, okay. Yeah.
How did the guys do reaching out to the guys?
Reaching out to the guys? They actually, well, they play a lot of basketball, although it's really hot. They go out to the courts to, like, play basketball. They also, a lot of times the friends, they're like, oh, we'll take you around town. So it's really easy to, like, while we're walking and stuff like that, the guys would, like, get a chance to talk to their friends. Like, and it's more natural because I think guys, they don't tend to, like, to, like, sit in the coffee shop and, like, you know, chit-chat over coffee. But girls, it's really easy, right? So I think for the guys, usually they're doing activities together. And then through that, they share the gospel with the guys. And so they've had a lot of chances to actually give a few of Bibles away as well, the guys.
Open?
Yeah, so it was sort of a mix, actually. From the stories I heard, because, like, yeah, most of them, I just hear about them. Some guys, I think a lot of times they have a lot of intellectual, so they actually have a lot of questions about, like, I don't even know if all we believe in is true. So they have a lot of intellectual, like, apologetic discussions for a while. But then as they share the gospel, I think they're trying to, like, make sense through logic and everything. And so when, like, the guys have shared the gospel, a lot of them have been willing to be like, okay, I'll look into the Bible. I want to learn and read more about this. Because I know a lot about the Quran from my culture, but I don't know a lot about this. So it's interesting that some of the ways that connects more of the guys may be like logic, or like I have questions and I want answers. So I would say, yeah, with the guys, they're actually more of them. There's actually a couple of guys that admitted that they're atheists even. So they have more freedom, whereas the women, they're not as free to speak about what they believe in. So it's a bit different. And the guys can, like, travel and they can leave the country and everything, whereas the girls, very few of them are allowed to do that. So, very good question. Yeah, that's good.
Hi, thanks, Evelyn. Really appreciate your sharing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those are a couple of prayers. Yeah, items. Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's see.
But we are going to move into...